I know some of you have probably decided to stay out of the rain, which is fine. Nice to have an option. I forgot you can't be online at the same time. You can't be online at the same time. You don't have a computer with you. You can show up there, though. What did Linda have to say?
She wanted to know, Kitty, what her husband's name was and what their last name was. It's just, I knew her husband Bob, and the last name came to me. I hope it's right.
I couldn't have told you. Okay, we're just about ready. Thank you all for being here. Let's begin as we usually do by becoming aware of our connection with one another. How we are all joined in spirit. How every heart is yearning for the same thing, no matter how it might appear on the outside. We are all looking for peace, for oneness. So we consciously join all of those who are consciously involved in that trip, that journey, and all those who are trying to be conscious of it, which is everyone. There are no right or wrong answers. There is simply the yearning of our hearts. And when we listen to that or hear that, we are guided, we are blessed, and we are moving in the direction or encompassing oneness. Our lesson begins on page 304 with the first question.
You're no longer alone.
Hey guys. But I'd like to begin actually with a little bit of the last paragraph on page 303, which is kind of a link between last week and this week. The awakening you seek to the I am self, the word, if you prefer, the action of the creator as the true self expressed as you, may be known now, but not in struggle, but in alignment, not in worry, but in faith, and not in degrees, because when you associate yourself in degrees, you decide that you can only be a little bit awake. When you awake in the morning from your sleep, you see the world before you in a new way, and that is our guarantee for each of you as you continue on your path. So the question begins on page 304. And if you've ever tapped in or become part of Paul's workshops, he will usually channel for a period of time, usually half an hour, 45 minutes, and then usually take some time to get some questions from the group, the people who are listening, depending upon the guides to answer those questions. Question one. The job that I have been doing feels very much like the old dress that no longer fits, the guides mentioned tonight. And myself knows it's time to move on. A fear arises because now I am putting my trust in my higher knowing without really being clear of what's next. I wonder if the guides might have some comment on that. I'm sure we've all been in places like that. When you know what you need to grow through and you deny yourself growth, you tend to create the circumstance to alleviate the stagnation. Do you understand this? When it gets uncomfortable enough, you will have to change. And you will choose the vehicle for expression to move forward, but that is not a requirement. In other words, the vehicle you use might be different from one form to another. When you align to your vibration as the one who can choose in accordance with her true worth, you meet yourself wherever you go at that level of agreement. The guides have said we will meet you exactly where you are. Not where you think you ought to be, but where you are. The fear that you will not be caught when you let go of the trapeze is what you are tending to. What happens after the moment of surrender? But who you meet is yourself in your own higher knowing. You understand this? In other words, you can't not be caught because who's catching you is yourself, your higher consciousness. It's only fear comes to us through a lower consciousness, not higher. In fact, fear does not exist in higher consciousness. It's hard to believe sometimes, but I wonder what it would be like to live without fear, without any fear. And what that does to me anyway, or for me, is it reminds me how far I got to go. Which I don't make into a judgment, I just make into that's my perception. And perception is always limited. That's another thing I have to remember. I perceive myself as being stuck, or I perceive myself as being afraid of letting go. That doesn't mean that I am. It means that's my perception of where I am at this moment. And perception, from my perspective, perception is always limited. Now, the realization that you require growth in and of itself will call the growth to you. In other words, I will know what I know what I need to be open to. I know what I need. How you attend to that in most ways is how you claim your identity. I am the one who can change. I am the one who knows what she needs, who can realize herself in a new job, in a new living, a new vibration. I have the right to choose. I have the right to know, and I may claim as I wish. So there are lots of different forms that that claim might take. And not one of them not better than the other one. One might be different from what you do today as far as tomorrow goes. But here's the way I am being, here's what I'm being called to do today. Here's how I'm being stretched today. Here's how I'm being invited to grow today. Just being here in this moment, walking through that door on Sunday morning is kind of a declaration of I am willing to grow. I'm not sure right now, I'm not sure what I'm being called to do in a moment. That's okay. It will be revealed to me when it needs to be. But right now, I am studying this book. I am being led by the guidance of the guides. I am responding to my soul's needs, even though I can't define them necessarily. That's why I'm here. And that's okay. You don't have to know in your head. The fear of change, in most cases, is the fear of the unknown. And the future is always unknown.
If I started this move with 150,000 rockets at this island, but between this and a political solution, there is still a very long road. And Israeli officials saying we need a mature.
Excuse me. Hello.
Hello. And so, not necessarily an honest brother that would be
invested. Is that you, Paula?
Sorry, Jerry. Yes, it was.
Okay.
I just walked into the room.
All right, okay. Got it fixed. Thank you.
Got it off now.
Okay. The fear of change in most cases is the fear of the unknown. And as I said, the future is always unknown. When we think we know the future, what we're doing is we're predicting it in terms of the past. That's just always true. That's what the ego and the personality does. I want to predict the future, I look at the past. Doesn't work. When you know who you are in a true way, the Christ itself, if you wish, you become a light that shines before you. You will be met by the circumstances you require to grow through, and underline the word grow. You will be met by the circumstances you require to grow through. In some ways, you actually create those circumstances. In some ways, those circumstances were created long before you incarnated this time around. You will be met by the circumstances you require to grow with, grow through, and underline the word grow. Growth in many cases is not prescribed by the personality self. In other words, this is not ego or personality growth. This is the growth of your soul, your spirit. That can't sometimes be defined. So, you know, we're not trying to nail it. This, here's where I need to grow. Often sometimes when I think I know what I need, I have to ask myself, when was the last time I really knew what I needed? And again, that's not a judgment. Usually what I think I need comes from my personality, my ego consciousness, not from my higher self. So I want to be aware of that one.
Jerry?
Yeah.
Also, how many things that we go through would we actually choose to grow? all of our experiences through our lifetime, not many of them would we say, oh, I want to choose to have that accident or be ill or, you know, be homeless. They come to us to grow. Whatever our conscious state is, I'm assuming.
Okay. Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Paula, that we don't, I don't want to put this. It's not that we don't choose to grow, but that the small self, the ego consciousness, the personality, never usually starts by saying, well, I want to grow now. Because that's really threatening to my personality, my separate self. So the yearn for growth, the yearning for growth, the yearning for wholeness, oneness, peace, healing, that essentially comes from my higher consciousness. So when I experience that, the yearning to grow, even if I can't define it, I know that I'm probably reacting or responding from a higher self need, if that makes sense.
Jerry.
So thank you for that. Yeah.
So, I am in awe this morning. I am thinking about the changes that I've been going through. As I've mentioned in here that I lost my job. It's going on 7 months ago. At first, it was devastation. Now I am in the middle of all this learning and recertification or new certifications, and I have new capabilities. But this gave me kind of a longer term perspective because I started thinking about it. And I worked for the company for 23 years. During those 23 years, there were probably 10 periods of layoff, significant layoffs, hundreds, if not thousands of people each time. And I just remembered a comment someone made when I was let go that they didn't know anyone who had been laid off from the company who had not landed in a better position, which is, I mean, it's almost like the company was a this wheel that was spinning out people to go have the life that they wanted. But the whole experience, I had gone through a period of years where my role kept getting minimized. At one time, I was generating 30%+ results, improvement in results in different roles. But I kept getting boxed in and boxed in and boxed in, and I was very frustrated and didn't like my job. But now I am having so much fun. I'm reconnecting to associations I used to belong to. I'm reconnecting to people I used to know and work with. I'm writing articles that are going on to LinkedIn. I'm having such an incredible fun time. I believe that the right, whatever the role is going to be, it's evolving, and I'm evolving to meet it. And it's pretty incredible. And for those who may have started watching The Chosen again, season 4, we watched an episode last night where it was explained that the reason we go through these problems is because we're given the opportunity to grow. Mm-hmm. Is what we need at the time. So I just thought I would thank you for letting me share all that.
Glad for you. Happy for you, John. Thank you. I was reminded when I was coming home from working on an Indian reservation for a year. And as I was coming home, I was driving in my little blue Volkswagen, my favorite little car. His name was Bonnie, by the way. And as I was traveling home with a couple of friends of mine who were driving a van with my stuff in it, I thought to myself, Now, who is it that I'm going to go working for? Am I going to work for Charter? Am I going to work for JDAC? Am I going to work for Tenbrook? I know I'd get a job in any one of those treatment centers. And as I asked that question, I felt this sick feeling in my stomach. Like, that's not for you anymore. No, what am I supposed to be doing? And of course, the message was, you're supposed to start your own private practice, which scared the crap out of me. And yet turned out to be one of the most monumental blessings in my life. And probably for some other people too. I'm sure I helped some other people along the way. But it was very not similar to what John's experience was, but it had a parallel to that. I could do that if I chose to do that, go back to the old way. But it was almost like my body even objected to that truth. Can't do it. Growth in many cases is not prescribed by the personality self. I will go get fit so I will be more appealing is a claim of the personality. I will know who I am without fear is a claim of the soul who seeks to express herself in a higher way. You understand this? Let me backtrack for a moment to page 303 again. Let me read this paragraph to you again. I'd like to get feedback on how this speaks to you in this moment. The awakening you seek, the I am self, the word if you prefer, the action of the creator as the true self expressed as you, may be known now, but not in struggle, but by alignment, not in worry, but in fear, in faith. And not in degrees, but because when you associate yourself in degrees, you decide that you can only be a little bit awake. When you awaken in the morning from your sleep, you see the world before you in a new way. And that is our guarantee for each of you as you continue on your path. How does that speak to you in this moment? The key phrase for me is not in struggle, but by alignment, not in worry, but in faith. How is that different from perhaps the way we feel like we've been called to grow in the past? I know what I'll do. I will beat the crap out of my ego. I will beat it into submission. I will make sure it doesn't bother me anymore. Of course, it does. I will change the outside, and hopefully that will change the inside. Yeah, Beth?
Kind of reminds me of, like, I watched this interview with Tom Nelson, and they were talking about, you know, his faith. And so what I do is I pray and then I get the hell out of the way. So that kind of reminds me of how I just talked about it.
So where does that leave you?
It's kind of like, you know, I can't fix this on my own.
Okay. So the language that I would use there is, I can't fix it on my own. That's what brings the ego and the personality self up to that place of surrender, of letting go. And it's not letting go into an outside force so much, it's letting go into my divine self, which John?
For me, it reminds me that it's grace, but it's not my effort. A lot of times I think I'm doing this. If I get myself in the right position, do things, it will happen. Because the surrender that it's a gift, but it's grace, and I don't have to struggle.
So is it, would you say in a simple way, it's openness to my higher self?
Yeah, I would say it's
good. Okay.
Grace seems to be this total gift, not my effort.
Okay. I didn't hear that last piece.
In the effort.
An effort?
No, I think that I have to do something.
Okay. All I have to do is let go. It's the effort comes in, or the struggle comes in, as they would say. The struggle comes in when I think that I have to force the change to happen, or force the awareness to happen. In reality, the awareness is always there, and all I need to do is let go of the illusion that it's not there, to open myself to that. I mean, that's true in so many different aspects, but especially this one.
Jerry?
I too was looking at this not as struggle but in alignment. And for me, when I was thinking of struggle, is the struggle that I've had here. And my perception of fear lives in the past based on my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in alignment, I am in the present moment. And fear does not exist in the present.
Great.
So.
Thank you. Fear does not exist in the present moment. So when I am in, as Laura said, when I am in alignment, are we not on for some reason? Okay.
No.
When we are in alignment with our higher consciousness, there is no fear. And to explain that concept of alignment again, because that throws me off a little bit. I'm not used to speaking in that particular piece of language. The difference for me is, or the clarification of that would be for me, and hopefully this is not overly simple, but if someone says to me, let's say if Margot says to me, I love you, and I hear the words, and it's kind of warm and fuzzy, it's nice, and I say, thank you, I love you too, which is true. And then I kind of let it go, well, what's for lunch? Or when she says those words to me, somebody else who loves me says those words to me, I allow myself to be receptive of that energy. I don't just take it in as words or an idea. I take it in as being the truth. In other words, I align myself to the love that's coming to me, which is very different than thinking about that in my head. So when I align myself to the love that's coming to me, I am joined with that. I am connected with that. Very different from an intellectual idea or saying, well, that's nice. And so when we speak about being in alignment, about being in alignment with our higher consciousness. So it's not just knowing that a higher self exists beyond my personality or ego consciousness. It's being in alignment with that. And when I am in alignment with that, then I am one with it. And when I am one with it, there is no fear. There is no doubt. There is no struggle.
Jerry?
Yeah.
Does it, this is, I'm going to have to go kind of over and over this paragraph. It feels a little tricky. I'm glad you brought it up again. But it would almost seem that we would not know if we're truly in alignment until the actual apparent struggle thing comes into our life and we're able to handle it with faith. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's really paradoxical, Paula, that when I am aligned to higher consciousness, I'm not telling myself, oh, I'm aligned with higher consciousness. I just am.
Yeah.
So I'm not describing a condition. Describing a condition is sort of being outside the box and looking at a movie, right? When I am in higher consciousness, I'm not patting myself on the back for being in higher consciousness. I just am.
It's like when everything's going great, the day's smooth, you're feeling joy and good, you automatically, at least I kind of feel in alignment. But what happens when that thing happens that doesn't go great, and sometimes maybe really serious, not a little glitch, but really big?
Mm-hmm.
Are we, am I at that time able to remain calm and know in faith that we move through this calmly?
Yes.
Keeping a balance in ourselves feels like what true alignment, to reach that state is true alignment.
And that is, I don't want to say that's the goal, but that's where we want to get to.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a great paragraph.
It's what the mystics would call practice of the presence of God.
Yes.
And finding the presence of God in everyone and everything, no matter what the externals might tell me. And when I am there, there's absolutely nothing that can chase away or get rid of that state of consciousness, that bliss, that higher consciousness, no matter what's going on. That's what we are all yearning for. Not just to be in that state of blissful consciousness when everything's going my way, but being in that state of consciousness when it's not. Because realizing that it's not going my way is just my ego and my personality reacting and responding. It's not me, not who I am.
Jerry, paraphrase this in a 12-step, in 12-step language, to paraphrase this, would be it to be in a state of acceptance, complete radical acceptance of myself, other people, and the mm-hmm. world as exactly the way it's supposed to be. And as my friend Keith always says, it's all in divine order. And knowing that, and as the Course says, nothing unreal exists and nothing real can be threatened. That it's just, we're just here for this experience. It's not personal.
Uh-huh.
Not to take it personal, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it says to me, radical acceptance of all. That's the alignment part.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's Jerry. Being in that state of consciousness where everything, where we recognize everything as being God's plan. God's plan being my plan being God's plan.
Jerry.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I really appreciate what Gregory said, and I'm thinking about how just a mindset as we go about a task can make a difference. When I am studying for one of the certification tests, if I'm just trying to get through it as fast as I can so I can get back to something else, it's a chore. If I am thinking about how I'm going to apply that to help others, it becomes joy. I've been working with a family member who has needed some work, some help with some things. And when they send me something to edit, I can either look at it as, oh man, here's the next 2 hours of my life and I'm going to dread this. Or I can look at it as I'm really helping them to get through this. They're going through a challenging situation. And when I do that, the time just flies. It's just when I'm thinking the right, if I'm taking the right approach into it mentally, it just, time just flies and it's fun. And I learn from what I'm doing. So it's, you know, a lot of it is just simply setting the intention ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Thank you.
I got a comment. I never comment on the comment. This is Don, by the way. And so this morning, as I worked through it, you know, I came to the concept of.
Needs you to speak up a little bit more.
Okay, alignment in many of the things and, you know, that we're talking about. At the end of the day, it's kind of like a dance. And when I first start dancing, I'm on my feet, I'm on the other people's feet. But over time, you know, I get more efficient, you know, with the way I think. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sort of get into a flow. And the way that you react, you know, you think about yourself and others, you know, it opens. And all of a sudden, you're not so conscious. You're just
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know, it's like a dance. It flows much better.
It's almost this kind of a rhythm to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just take a moment to take all that in. However you responded to that paragraph, out loud or to yourself. And imagine what it would be like to say to yourself, I am at peace with what is. And anything that does not, that I'm not experiencing as peace is a call to growth. And I am open to whatever form that growth might take. Next question. The guides fairly explicitly say that when we raise our vibration, low vibration things fall out of our physical reality. This kind of implies that we each have our own separate physical reality. Is that what the guides mean to say? Yes and no. How you attend to anything is through your consciousness. How you attend to a man lying in the street is an act of consciousness. You may walk around him. You may pick him up and nurse him to health, or you may pick his pocket, depending upon who you are. The man is there, but how you perceive the man is vastly changed. It does not mean you ignore the world you are in. It does not mean that you see beyond the it does mean that you see beyond the prescriptions of fear that you were taught to hold. When you see two men fighting, you may claim them as misbehaving. You may claim them as expressing their masculinity or their foolishness, or realize that they are learning in the way they choose. It really does vary, you see. How you may witness something is always dependent on the history you bring to it and the teachings you prescribe to it. I'm reminded very much of the parable of the Good Samaritan in that paragraph. You might recall that a Samaritan was one, a man was walking to, just walking along. He was attacked by robbers, beat up, robbed, thrown to the side of the road. And a number of people walked by. A rabbi walked by, said, I'd like to be able to help you, but I need to go to the church. I need to go to the synagogue. A priest walked by, said, I need to go to mass. Sorry, I'd like to help you, but I can't. And this happened to three or four people walked by. So finally who walks by was a Samaritan, who hated Jews, and the Samaritans did not get along very well. Samaritan goes up to the Jewish man who was beat up and went along the side of the road, picks him up, binds up his wounds, carries him to a hospital. He gives the hospital some money and says, take care of him, and if you need any more, I'll be back. And Jesus looks out at the crowd and said, now who is justified? Hate to say it, but I would probably be one of those people who walks by. I don't want to get involved. Maybe it's a setup. When you see with the eyes of the Christ, which is our teaching, you see the truth in all you see before you. Not the cosmetic truth, not the convenient truth, not the truth that agrees with your politics or the fashion of the times. You see the truth that is eternal. This is my brother. This is my sister. Or this is my mother. This is my father. Now that is in manifest. Now that is the manifestation of the divine self as you, because as she begins to perceive the truth in all things, she actually impacts the matter she sees. And the master, as we teach it, may transform the physical reality that he or she attends to. Now don't go running with this until you understand what it truly means. It means how you perceive anything impacts matter. Your perception changes the thing. We learned that in physics a long time ago, and my perception about how these atomic particles are supposed to move regulates how they move. Your perception changes things. How you perceive anything impacts matter. When you see the divine in anything, you lift it to its true nature, regardless of what it presents superficially. When you see the divine in anything, you lift it to its true nature, regardless of what it presents superficially. Thank you for the very good question.
Jerry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about some of the reports I've read on eyewitness reports, and they, in so many cases, they've even run tests where 100 different people have seen the same thing, and they don't agree on what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's one of the openings or opportunities for attorneys in trial is, you know, what they see is often not what really happened. So it is their perception. Thanks.
Yeah.
Jerry?
Yes.
So that kind of leads to why we can see it all happening right now. And that's why the world is our experience right now. It's no different than what's going on with Israel and God and all of that over there and here. All of our perceptions are all so varied that you know, it's like it is just a journey. Realizing that it's no overnight fix. It just isn't, with all the different perceptions that we each have about every situation. Wow. When would we come to that point where we all really saw it the same?
Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars.
Yes, I love it.
Wow. Okay, we can put our stuff down.
Jerry, can I share one story before we do
that?
Sure,
John.
Okay, so this is giving away something that happens in The Chosen, but I think it fits in here. So we saw an episode where Jesus and his travelers, his disciples, were walking along a road, and they came upon some Romans, some centurions, and all, they had all this heavy armor, and they were tired, and they didn't they. They had apparently a law that allowed them to ask the local people to carry their stuff for at least a mile, or 1 mile. And so they offloaded all this stuff onto Jesus and his disciples. And the disciples were ready for Jesus to have something to say to these Romans that would basically, you know, they're not going to do this to us. But no, Jesus picked up his chair And they all walked for a mile, and they get to the end, and the centurion says, "Well, thank you for doing this so nicely." And Jesus says, "Wait a minute, we're only a mile from the fort where you guys are going. We'll carry them the rest of the way." And they ended up walking a mile and a half to get to this fort. And the all the disciples were, "Oh man, we're being used. This is terrible. Look, these guys, they've got all the power, we don't, and blah." But this was how Jesus taught his saying, if someone asks you to walk a mile, walk 2 miles. Yeah. And he was willing to do that very, very nicely, very humbly, without degrading himself. It was what a scene that was. That was incredible.
That's great. Thank you, John. On that note, you put your stuff down. Just get comfortable in your spot. Into the rhythm of your breathing, beating of your heart. Imagine that growth happens for you. Like a seed opening up in the ground. And this stalk breaking through the ground, breaking through the dirt. Leaves and flowers developing from the stalk. Effortless, natural, flowing. No judgment. Now making that practical for you, to imagine that you become aware of an area of your life that is asking for growth. And to imagine that energy of asking for growth is a seed in the ground. It cracks open through your intention. And breaks through the soil, begins to grow leaves and flowers. No struggle, just the natural movement of your soul. So in love and in gratitude, in stillness, and in growth. We allow ourselves to be glad of the path we are on and the path we have chosen. Back to your breathing. Stretch a bit. And open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Jerry. Great class.
Hope you have a great rest of the weekend. See ya and love
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye. Thank you, Jerry.
Bye. Love you much.
Jerry.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that wasn't.